Hello and welcome to Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Radio. Coming up in today's weekend programme, we have an interview with Botek Lizec, who has been serving as the Czech ambassador to Canada since 2019. This summer, he returned to Prague for the first time since the onset of the coronavirus pandemic, and Radio Prague International caught up with him to discuss Czechs in Canada and bilateral relations between the two countries. I began by asking him what it's like to lead an embassy during a pandemic.
It was certainly a challenge. I also arrived to Canada relatively soon before the pandemic, a short time before the pandemic broke out. So you're absolutely right. We had to switch everything to the online world, and it was not an easy challenge because to create contacts with people just online, not having an opportunity to meet people in events, in getting new impulses that you cannot really discover only by reading and sitting at a table. So that was a limiting factor, which I just now even appreciate more when I had that first chance after a year and a half to take my first larger trip after such a long time.
Exactly. We were just talking about that ahead of the interview. It's been 2 years since you were able to come to the Czech Republic. Now you're here. That sort of brings me to my next question. What do Czechs in Canada miss the most about home? And also, I guess this question could be given to you. What are you focusing on to bring home to them, I suppose?
I think they for sure miss Czech culture. So that is something that I keep in mind. Of course, we are mostly focusing, and that is our main role, to help strengthen our ties with Canada. So we are trying to bring cultural projects to all Canadians, not only to Czech Canadians or Czechs who live in Canada. So that is our main focus. But I'm sure and I know that the Czechs and Czech Canadians, of course, greatly appreciate these projects and love to join and attend events.
I know you're doing a tour through Alberta, or you did one, but you're posting it on Facebook right now. You know, you're talking about these cultural events. Is there anything sort of coming up until the end of this year which you would like to mention, you know, for the expat community?
I am now still in the process. I'm using the time now being in Prague to meet with guests that I have been talking to for a long time, even before I got posted to Canada, and we had major plans for Canada. Unfortunately, at this point, it is still relatively difficult to make firm commitments that we will be able to bring guests to Canada. Canada has not yet opened its borders to foreigners, so we are hoping, and Canadian government announced that it would happen if everything goes well on September 7th, but that is something that I cannot really promise. But I would like to promise and invite them to join us for definitely for National Day celebrations, which we will organize either in person or rather online.
I wanted to ask, you know, there are also elections coming up. Postal voting, if I am correct, is not yet possible, but it may be possible in the sort of elections, the subsequent elections. Do you think this is something that expats in Canada, Czech expats, would welcome very much? Have you heard anything about this?
I often hear about that. Also, I used to serve in the US, so I know that, of course, this would be greatly appreciated. On the other hand, I think that the number of people who are actually voting in the elections, participating in the elections, who live in North America, is not that great. But I think still these symbolic possibilities were important to them, and I think to many of us who believe in that. But as I say, I know this from Chicago, which I'm sure had thousands of voters who were entitled to take part in the elections. It was a small fraction of them who actually came to the consulate to cast their vote.
Okay, so you think, in other words, that this number would definitely increase?
It would, but it would still be limited. It would not be a major turnout, even if the correspondence voting was possible. One of the reasons is that some of the Czech Canadians who have citizenship, a relatively large number, simply feel that they, and when I talk to them, I hear that they don't live here and they don't feel confident to decide about Czech politics.
I understand. My last sort of question to current affairs topics, we come to trade. Of course, you know, the CETA, the Comprehensive Economic and Trade Agreement between the EU and Canada, was signed just a few years ago. This actually has been increasing trade, according to the official statistics, and trade between the Czech Republic and Canada rose by more than 50% since 2010. How has it been impacted by COVID? And, you know, do you think thanks to CETA, trade relations can start growing again pretty soon?
I think that CETA, and I use this point when I meet Canadian officials quite often, and they do with me, we believe that CETA can be certainly a tool which can help us in the post-COVID recovery. We are both in Canada and in Europe. I, of course, talk to my colleagues from the European Union very often. So we are very proud of this achievement, and we really see a big potential still in the agreement to come. We were not able, of course, during the pandemic to take the full advantage of the agreement, but some of the provisions are very important to Czech companies and to Canadian. I remember from my experience in the US how difficult it sometimes was for Czech companies to bring technicians, for example, to the US to work on their contracts, and this is basically becoming incredibly easy under the new agreements, just to give you an example.
As an ambassador, you of course have to follow events in Canada, Czech Republic very closely. You also are privy to information which perhaps most people don't have. I was wondering, you know, if you were living in Canada, not as an ambassador, as a Czech, what sort of business would you go into right now? Is there any, you know, trade between Czech Republic and Canada which you think that people, you know, Czechs in Canada could really get into?
It's an interesting question. I don't have that ambition, but but I must tell you that I know that actually there is quite interesting similarity between Canada and the Czech Republic. We are quite complementary, and our strengths are similar in similar fields. So IT, ICT is certainly one area where I see a lot of potential for cooperation between Czech and Canadian companies. I also see it in some of the segment of it, artificial intelligence, aerospace, even the car industry, defense. We have now a major news in Czech-Canadian relations, a great example of this growing ties between our countries. Česká zbrojovka, CZ Group, Czech firearms company, acquired Colt, which has also a large Canadian division. So this is one example where we work together in business as well as in defense. So these are just few examples, but of course I see also other companies. Our nanotechnologies are now very interesting for Canadians. Our capabilities in batteries, in electricity storage, that is something which Canadians are interested into. For example, I visited Quebec last summer, and major changes in aerospace industry. They are searching even for our technologies, and they looked them up by themselves. I was impressed by that, and they would like to use our capabilities and technologies.
Both countries also have very good video game studios.
Absolutely. We supported, that you asked me about the online world, so we even switched our economic diplomacy to that. So we were offering Czech companies to take part in trade shows which were organized in Canada in the online format, and one of those was the gaming industry, and many Czech companies took part in that.
Yeah, I could imagine. Okay, if we switch a bit back in time. Last year, you know, I already said I was talking to you about Together for Victory, a special event called Together for paying tribute to the Canadians and Czech Canadians who helped save Czechoslovakia in the Second World War. We spoke about that. I was wondering, since then, have you had time to travel a bit through Canada, learn a bit more about the history of Czechs in Canada? And if so, what stories have you come across?
That was certainly one of the things that I missed most, as we said at the beginning of the interview. I really felt that I needed to go to the provinces to meet with local representatives and also members of parliament in the areas where they serve or where their jurisdictions are. So I finally had this opportunity just before this trip to Prague. Alberta was the first province that began opening up. And as I said, I saw the window of opportunity and I jumped through it. because I felt the fall season may still be complicated. Alberta was a great choice because there is a lot of Czech history in the province, and I really was looking forward to building on those ties, and this was exactly what I was able to do. First of all, I went to visit historic Czech communities, which came about at the beginning, at the end of the 19th century. And these communities helped us during the First World War, they helped us during the Second World War, and I felt it was time to go and thank their descendants for that help. Unfortunately, I was able to meet with the highest representatives of Alberta, and also the former Prime Minister of Canada, Stephen Harper, Premier Kenney, who served as his member of his cabinet, and they both agreed with me that the 40 years of communism in Czechoslovakia, unfortunately, artificially cut off these ties with these traditional communities, and it was relatively difficult after such a long break to reconnect, and we have still something to do in that regard. And I was very happy that I had this chance, and everywhere I went I was not only incredibly warmly welcomed by those communities and their representatives, but also by, as I said, the local politicians. Members of parliament were welcoming me in their areas. Three of them also that I met during my trip, all of them joined the Canada Czech Republic friendship group in the Canadian parliament, which I have been trying to support its further development. So I was very happy, and I also had a very interesting series of meetings with Michelle Rempel-Garner, who is also a member of the parliament, also a member of our group since last year, and she's of Slovak ancestry. And when we talked about the Czech and Slovak history in Alberta, I was quite surprised when she told me, we discussed the importance of Czechoslovak National Association of Canada, which was created during the Second World War, and she surprised me by saying that she still have membership cards of her grandparents, which they acquired during the Second World War.
That's very sweet. On that point, I don't know if there's any explanation behind this, but I read that the biggest emigration waves of Czechs to Canada came in and after 1968, so actually relatively recently, and that these immigrants were not as eager as previous generations to join Czechoslovak societies in Canada. You were sort of saying, you know, how these 40 years of communism caused a bit of a slight moment when there was a disconnection. Is it true that there aren't as many Czechs who moved to Canada recently or nowadays who want to join these societies? And if so, why do you think that is the case?
A few questions, I think, together. First of all, I would say that a relatively big growth of the community came between the wars. Before the First World War, it would be interesting, actually, something that I think was not really historically investigated enough. I would say in general, we can find that about one-third of population of Canada came from Central and Eastern Europe, and one-third came, of course, from United Kingdom, and then the last third came from the US. And actually, the areas where people were farming and at some point the land became scarce in the US, these were states very close to Canada, which were heavily populated by Czechs, like Minnesota, North Dakota, South Dakota, Wisconsin, even, of course, Illinois and Iowa. So these children and grandchildren of Czech immigrants often went to the US, not necessarily also claiming their Czech ancestry. During my trip, I had a wonderful experience in a town called Prague, or rather a community. Usually when you find in North America a town named after a Czech town, it is usually it was usually founded by Czechs from that town. And this is also the truth in the case of Prague in Alberta. However, these were not Czechs from Prague, our capital, but these were Czechs from Prague in Oklahoma. So I would also, that's why I say that there was this large community before 48 and 68. But you're absolutely right, there was a big influx of Czech immigration to Canada during after 1968 Soviet invasion, Warsaw Pact invasion into Czechoslovakia. These people often took over the Czechoslovak National Association of Canada. Unfortunately, from the 91 branches that were created during the Second World War to help Edvard Beneš, we have now about 8. So there was a big change, and unfortunately it was not for some reason possible to keep in touch with those old communities. Your last question was how do the new Czechs do with joining these associations. I would say that you are right that for example, I visited Kenmore, which used to be a mining town. Today it is a flourishing tourist destination, beautiful, placed in the Rocky Mountains. And there used to be a branch of the Czechoslovak National Association during the Second World War. Today about 500 Czechs, young Czechs, live in this town and work in the tourist industry to take opportunities, hiking opportunities, skiing opportunities. So this is interesting, but they are not recreating this association. They are interested in culture. They would go to concerts to Calgary, which is about an hour away. So it's a different generation, and they often create Czech schools. So they have different organizations, but at the end, I think there will be Czech organizations just as the US that they will create.
Just back to your trip across Alberta, there was a story which was particularly interesting. You know, obviously you visited Drumheller, the dinosaur capital of the world, and there was a bit of a Czech footprint there. I also wanted to ask you, though, mainly about Josef Gašnitz, the greatest Czech farmer in Canada, you call him. Could you tell us a bit about his story? Because maybe it's a basic story of what maybe a Czech may have experienced moving to Canada at the turn of the 19th, 20th centuries.
Mm-hmm. No, you are absolutely right. I feel exactly that way. I read a bit of his memoir, which is really, really interesting. Czechs in Canada often, especially those who came from Europe and didn't have enough financial resources to make the trip and then begin to farm, they needed to get initial money. And the usual way how to do that was to go into coal mines. And Josef Gašnitz was a champion of that because he moved basically through most of those mine areas, at least in Alberta, but also in other places of Canada. And he was saving money. Of course, it was a very difficult profession. So he tells in his memoir how he visited Hillcrest, which was one of the mining towns in the Rocky Mountains in Crowness Pass, which was heavily populated by Czechs. And he felt something was wrong in that mine. And in 2 weeks, the largest disaster in the Canadian history in the mining industry happened in that mine. So he escaped it. He went on to more mines, and he in the end ended up in Drumheller, at that time also a mining town. He would go into mines in the day for maybe 2 shifts, and he would still later in the evening do farming. He would save more money, buy more land, save more money, buy more land, and eventually become this greatest Czech farmer in Canada, which is actually not a title that I invented. Uh-huh. But I read it in a memory book of Czechoslovak Canada, which was published during the Second World War. He was 3 members of his family went into the Second World War to help win democracy and freedom. And that is basically his story. His family still lives in Drumheller, and it was quite nice to meet with Josef Gašnitz, who is his grandson, and we talked a lot about the history and the community, Czech community in Drumheller.
Just a few questions ago, you were sort of saying, you know, maybe we still need a bit more historical research into, you know, Czechs in Canada, the past. What sources do we have now? Is it something that we know a lot about, or is it something where there's still lots of questions to find out about?
I think that the questions are still there, I think. And I think in the US, for some reason, I think that the community was definitely larger. And the communities had for decades their newspapers, publishing houses, so many books were published on the history. I don't think that really happened in Canada, definitely not on that scale. So it is more difficult to find resources. And so some kind of primary research first needs to be done. And I think what I see is what was particularly encouraging for me, though, is that what I experienced earlier when I served in the US, it is just as true in Canada. And that is that people of Czech ancestry are incredibly proud of their ancestry, and they love to reconnect. They travel to the Czech Republic, are very proud of that, and they are searching for more information for Czech culture, for Czech ties, having fond memories from their childhood. Some of them even speak Czech, which is of course very rare in the US and in Canada. But it was quite touching when I entered the Prague Hall, built in 1939 in Prague, Alberta, and I was welcomed by a lady who was born more than nine decades ago in that province. Her name was Blažena Zemánková, and she welcomed me in perfect Czech with Moravian accent, and it was very nice.
Okay, Ambassador Lizetz, thank you very much for taking your time, and thank you. I wish you a lovely day. Thank you.
Thank you very much for having me.
Sadly, that brings us to the end of today's programme. Don't forget that you can always write to us on our email, english@radio.cz, if you have any comments. For now, that's all from me, Tom McEncrow, and the whole team here at Radio Prague International. We thank you very much for joining us and wish you a lovely weekend.